Hi, and welcome to Common Denominator, straight-up conversations with me, Moshe Popak. Each week, I chat with pioneers, innovators, and truly inspirational people to learn the steps they take to turn their ideas into reality. My goal is to empower you to dive in, be bold, and take profound steps toward realizing your own potential. Joining me this week is Dr. Roshna Buksani Murpuri. She's a licensed mental health counselor with over 20 years' experience, nationally and internationally. As your children head back to school, Dr. Buksani will offer expert advice so you can help them feel comfortable and confident. Next.
This is Common Denominator, straight up conversations with Moshe Popak. Now, here's Moshe.
Hi, Dr. Buksani. Yeah, welcome to the show. Thank you so much. Kids are heading back to school, some of them for the first time in 18 months. What are some of the issues that they'll be facing?
I think some of it is to do with socializing, right? Because obviously these kids were back home. They were on Zoom or whatever portal that the schools were using. But the social interaction was quite minimal. So, of course, there's a lot of challenges there with, okay, now kids who didn't have social anxiety all of a sudden seem to exhibit symptoms of social anxiety where they're worried about, oh, my gosh, how is this going to be? And I'm going to go back. Are people going to judge me? So that's a big part. Sometimes I've seen kids get worried about failure. So it's almost like because they've spent a year of doing this in the house, they've gotten used to that kind of setup. So they're not sure now if I go back to school, will I still be successful in doing what I'm doing? Some friendships have suffered because, you know, like I know my daughter, for instance, was not able to meet some of her best friends because, you know, parents had compromised immune systems. So friendships have suffered. So obviously kids who had those really close friendships, that's creating anxiety because do I have to go and make new friends now? You know, are my old friends still going to be there with me? And then some kids have lost loved ones in COVID, and obviously they're experiencing grief and anger sometimes about, you know, somebody not wearing a mask or why aren't you taking this seriously? And they're grieving and mourning the death of a loved one. And finally, I think it's fear of your own health. Like, am I going to be okay? Is something going to happen to me? Am I going to bring something back home to my parents? So these are some of the challenges that I guess we see amongst kids. I see in my own clients.
Yes, I know with my own kids, we sent all our kids now to new schools, just for technical reasons. But we had to do a lot of intentional work with them to alleviate the fears. You know, it's different in the home. We don't wear the mask. And now all day long, they're in the class. They have to wear masks, sometimes even outside. So I guess the regular social interaction, you're able to see people's face. So kind of how to adopt, maybe parents teaching the kids how to adopt and interact socially differently.
Of course. And I think there's, you know, it first begins with mindfulness, I think, on a parent's part to understand what does anxiety look like? What are those symptoms? You know, we know the basic symptoms of anxiety, right? So we know, okay, if kids are, you know, their heart is beating fast, you know, sweating, we need to be mindful. And sometimes it's not even any of that. It's just my kid is talking too much all of a sudden. What's up with that? And it may be a sign of anxiety. So I think to begin with, parents need to create a mindfulness of, okay, how's my kid behaving? Is there a difference here? And if it's coming from a place of anxiety, absolutely being able to give your kids tools, right?
So
grounding techniques, breathing techniques, meditation. Oh my gosh, there's so much of research that supports meditation and the effects of meditation on anxiety, on relieving anxiety.
It's interesting you mentioned meditation. We had in our house, we do some meditation, my wife and I, and we were thinking, we're like, wow, imagine, to your point, imagine we had the meditation happening in the schools.
Absolutely.
Right?
Can I tell you, Moshe, I have my thoughts about this, and I really feel in schools, you know, the school systems need to do more.
Yeah.
I think they do a great job academically, but I don't think they do enough for the social-emotional development of children. And I really think we need to focus on that, because if we have a child who is, you know, socially and emotionally able to cope with the stresses of life, they'll function. They'll do well academically. But if not, it doesn't matter, because they're not going to be able to perform. So I feel schools can do so much more. And I would love to see schools start with 10-minute meditation in the morning.
Right.
You know, we used to do that. So I went to school. In my journey of schooling obviously started in India and then Dubai. And every morning we used to have an assembly. And part of assembly was meditation, which was so amazing, because it kind of prepared you to face the rest of the day.
Yeah, I know. I guess the hardest thing of the mental health umbrella seems to be that it's not something tangible. I sit on a board that deals a kind of a safety net dealing with in Miami-Dade County of mental dealing with mental health issues, and you know, we're just touching the tip of the iceberg. We get funding from the state, some from the county, from grants, but there's so much more work, especially now we're seeing the ramp up because of COVID, but there's so much more work that needs to be done in the mental health space.
Absolutely.
And then I think also, like, as parents, I think that it's always a reflection to ourselves, and that's the energy the children mm-hmm. will feel. I mean, 20 years in practice, right? You probably see that.
Absolutely.
Right? So you go back to the parents, you put them in a room.
Right.
Right?
Well, we try.
Right.
It's hard for parents to see that it could be them.
Right.
So we very gently broach that. But I agree. And, you know, I think parents also, it's funny because they swing between, oh my gosh, I need to validate my child and I need to be there and I need to listen. And absolutely, I think all of that is important. But then it's also important to have those expectations from your child to say, hey, listen, I know this is difficult for you, but you've got it. You've got what it takes. You're going to go and deal with this. I see a lot of parents sort of, you know, pulling back from that second part of it and
and
doing a great job with empathy, but then stopping there and not actually empowering children to say, okay, but avoidance is not the key.
Right.
You know, so it, you know, I understand that you feel that anxiety and it's hard for you and I'm here for you and, you know, I'm on your court, I've got your back. But you've still got to do this. I can't keep you at home or go fight with the school or, you know, expect, accommodations because you don't need it. You're going to be able to get through this. So I think drawing that balance between the empathy and the expectation, I think, is very important for parents.
Yeah, and I know I can think about myself for a second, my journey. So I've been at this 15 years. My oldest is 15. My youngest is 18 months. And I think back, my wife's from, you know, her parents, former Soviet Union, completely different way of parenting. So we've kind of found our mix in between, where in the early stages, I'm kind of making up for my childhood. It's like, oh, they didn't clean the room. Yeah, let's just go out, have a good time. And in my, you know, as years progress, no, we're going to do the math homework. We're going to do the English. We're going to do this. And you're going to have tougher experiences.
Absolutely.
And that, I love that idea of it's called tough love.
Absolutely.
Right.
And it's beneficial for the kids more than anything
yes.
else to have that, because when they form then ultimately those expectations of themselves that, okay, I'm not going to, because avoidance is probably the worst thing you can do with
yes.
fear, right? So if we can teach that to the children, I think COVID and other challenges that they will face in the future, they will be able to handle it much better.
Yeah, I think of nowadays, I think of that if we can, it's hard. It took me a long time. It's like really, really depleting my ego. And what's best, because it's not you. It's a third party. It is your child, but helping your child build their ego, selflessly, building out, figure out who they are, each person, and each, I have nine of them, nine children, each person figuring out who they are, and helping them on their journey to do in life, setting up their foundation to do what they love.
Absolutely. So I don't know if you know, I published a book recently, and on, you know, at the, I kind of in the foreword have put, I don't know if you've read the poetry by Khalil Gibran, and really that's what it is, right? It's, you know, our children, yes, you know, when we say my child, it's almost as an ego attached to it, but really they are their own person. So allowing them to be that person, to flourish, to become successful in what they consider, and ultimately to find that purpose and meaning for themselves. Really, that's what we want. But I agree with you.
And I just want to say, right, a pint of patience with a dollop of love,
yes.
Right? So, right, everybody go out and buy the book. Tell us a few key points. You mentioned the book, but what are a few key points that come out of the out of the book that really stick with you?
So here's the thing. It's a very different parenting book, right? So, and the reason the name is A Pint of Patience with a Dollop of Love is because it's a parenting recipe book. And what I mean by that is that you're not going to read this book cover to cover. You won't need to. What you're going to do is you're going to pick what you need to get out of the book at the developmental stage your child is at. So if I have a toddler, and I know you have it all, so for you, maybe you'll read it cover to cover, but if I have issues with my toddler, then that's really the part that I'm going to read. So it's I'm hoping, a resource that you're going to keep with you through the life of your, you know, bringing up your children and using it as and when those challenges occur and being able to get some tips and tools on how to deal with those. Yeah.
I think of, you know, education also. I think that you talk about parenting. You don't really, you know, when I remember when I had my first child, it's like, okay, here's a baby. You don't really know. You're going to have to be responsible for them 24 hours, 7 days a week, right? So you think about what should the practicality of life, like people should figure, you know, have lessons, real lessons of parenting, real lessons of adaptability. The world is constantly changing. You know, real lessons maybe in entrepreneurship. You know, I look at my kids' curriculum, and I think that, you know, I'm an advocate for some change in the education system. We're not so high in the U.S. on our education. I mean,
absolutely.
I speak to people in Europe, and they know everything about
absolutely.
The world. Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I completely agree. I still think we do better with education than with social emotional development,
right.
But I absolutely agree compared to the rest of the world. Yes, I think we have a long ways to go. I'm educated in the Indian system, my husband from the French system, and both of us collectively, when we look at what the kids are doing, there's a world of a difference to what we were doing at that age in our respective educational system. So yes, I agree.
I know also in kind of your what you advocate for is outside of schooling, you know, kind of to alleviate the anxiety for the kids is kind of play dates.
Absolutely.
With the kids.
And yes, we spoke about that a little bit before.
Yes.
But absolutely, you know, whatever it takes to help your kid. And given that there's so many things that kids can be anxious about, we cater accordingly. So if it is really friendships that they're anxious about, then absolutely plan those play dates for your kids. Take them to the movies with their friends. Let them experience some of those experiences that they've not had for this year and a half so that they begin to experience that normalcy. I don't know if that happened. I know it happened with me because I went when COVID when we first went on lockdown, I went home and I was doing telehealth. And even for me to go back to the office, so I went back to the office somewhere in September. And even for me, it brought about a little anxiety because we adapt as human beings. So we almost adapted to that new normal of, okay, I'm just going to do telehealth from home. And it took a little bit for me to say, okay, no, I'm going back to the office, and that's where I'm going to start seeing my clients, even if it is telehealth. So kids will adapt, and kids are much more able to adapt than you and I. So they will adapt as long as we give them those opportunities to be able to experience those things.
Yeah, and I know, you know, your extensive background, your journey, right? I guess grew up in India. You spent some time in Dubai.
Actually, my whole life.
Right.
So I was born in India in this small town of Pune, which is very close to Mumbai, and but I moved to Dubai when I was about 7 years old. So that's really where home is, but went to an Indian school. Completed, came to the States, education, went back to Dubai, did a lot of work with spreading mental health awareness in Dubai because at that point, this is about 20 years back, there really wasn't mental health awareness at all in schools or outside of schools. But I ended up working with 21 schools around the UAE. I was counseling coordinator and did tremendous work with a lot of families, worked with the government, to come up with programs, to come up with child protection laws, because we didn't have any at that point. So really, really wanted to do as much to spread that awareness.
And if I remember correctly, in the UAE, it's, I think, 20, it's about, maybe about 2 million people.
Right.
And I think it's 400,000 are local.
Correct.
But then completely diversified.
Correct.
So that's a challenge in itself.
Correct. And in fact, UAE has the highest NRI, you know, that's non-resident Indians population in the world, right? So we have tons of Indians, but yes, people from all over the world. And it was a challenge, but it was such a blessing because those 21 schools, I had Arab schools, I had Indian schools, I had American, British schools. So I actually worked with all cultures. And it was amazing because what I realized is no matter what the culture is, parenting issues were the same. They're universal. Parents are dealing with the same kind of stuff no matter where they are. But it was a beautiful experience being able to work with people from all over the world.
Yeah, I can. But that's interesting. That's very reassuring for me to think that the parenting struggles, you know, when you, I guess, feel that same struggles that other people feel. But I think that is, I remember learning that in the business environment, that it's about the best type of person to hire is a chief adaptability officer.
Absolutely.
So we're constantly evolving. If I think of the greatest thing that my kids can be, obviously healthy, but to have the courage to be who they are.
Absolutely. You know, I tell my clients this all the time that, listen, if you are passionate about something, you're going to be good at it. Even if there are another 100,000 people doing exactly what you're doing. So you just have to believe and you have to keep going down that path. So absolutely, I'm with you 200%.
Yes. So I want to, Roshna, I want to thank you so much. Hopefully we give just a little bit of inspiration for parents out there or if people are dealing with different mental health issues, more and more awareness towards that. It's super important.
Absolutely.
Right? It's a muscle that you have to exercise. I know I have protocols every day, so I appreciate you coming on Common Denominator.
Not at all. And you know what? If parents are concerned and they want to reach out, you know, and they have questions, I would be happy to help in any way possible.
So how can they learn more
about
you?
So they can actually email me. Right. That's rachna@baksanicare.com. My website is baksanicare.com, so they can even reach me through that. But yes, absolutely. Please ask me questions if you're concerned about something, a challenge that you're facing, and you just need like a, you know, quick advice, please reach out and I will do my best.
Well, thank you so much, Roshna.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Common Denominator podcast. Join us next week for another inspiring, impactful, and empowering conversation. To learn more about Moshe, head to moshepopak.com. If you enjoyed this episode, feel free to share it. And we'd be grateful if you could rate, review, and subscribe to the show.